use expressions sometimes that really do not mean what we are saying. If I asked you the question, do you have a body? How many would raise your hand in affirmative sense? Do you have a body? I see most everybody does. Maybe some are a little hesitant. You know, we don't have a body. I have glasses. I have a tie. I have a coat. In Loma Linda, my wife and I have a car. I have a watch. But I don't have a body. If I have a body, then who am I? You see, we are bodies. We don't have bodies. Your body is you. There's not some entity outside, a soul, as people say. God didn't put a soul into the body. And the soul owns the body. The body is us, is you and me. But there's no other way of expressing it. I have tried to talk and give talks without saying my body or your body or our body. But I want to make this introductory statement to clarify my thinking. When I'm speaking of my body, I'm speaking of myself. When I speak of my hand, I'm speaking of some part of this body that is me. If you look in the index of your Bible, or you look in a concordance, you will find a large list of verses where hands are referred to. Not only human hands, but God's hands. And for a few minutes, I'd like to talk to you about some of the ideas that have come to me through the years on the hand. When I was a medical student, my freshman year, four of us dissected a human body. I was so impressed that I vowed that if I ever got a chance again, I'd like to dissect another body. Little did I know that after I graduated, I'd be asked to teach in anatomy. And besides helping students, dissecting their bodies, I dissected a body every year for myself for many, many years. And the more I looked at the structures that were being revealed through the knife and the scalpel and the forceps, the more impressed I got on the Creator's wisdom. I'd like you to do a little experiment. Make a fist. I don't care whether you're left-handed or right-handed, but make a fist. Make it as tight as you can. And when I say open, open as wide as you can. Open. Now, why are your fingers separated one from the other? Now, I want you to keep your fingers separated and make a fist. You can't do it. You see, if you were an engineer designing a prehensile or grasping organ, you would want it to be as large as possible as you reach for an object. And then when you've got that object, you want it as small as possible as you hold it. And that's what God did. And these moon probes that have gone to the surface of the moon, the Russians have sent several, they have mechanical arms and hands that reach out and grasp stones and other objects on the surface of the moon and then bring them back to Earth for examination. And when they're reaching them out, they're open. And then when they hold the object, they become small. And that is how God designed the human hand. Some years ago, I had to go to Washington, D.C., and this particular route took me to Baltimore. And those of you who know that area, Baltimore is about an hour's drive from Washington. I arrived late one evening. It was winter time. I got into a limousine that was going down to Washington. And soon I found myself with a man on my left side, another on my right. And when the limousine filled up, we started our long journey. And I turned to the man on my left, and he wasn't interested in any conversation, so I turned to the man on my right, who turned out to be an electrical engineer, working in a facility just north of the airport, south of Boston. It was a federal project, and it was a large facility, the man said, and they had many, many engineers of different kinds. And the assignment of the whole organization was to take the technology that was developed for space and put it into practical everyday uses if possible. And his assignment, he and his group, were to design a human hand to be used for those who had lost a hand. And he said it didn't make much difference if they had lost the hand at the wrist, or the hand and forearm at the elbow, or even the whole upper limb. They had worked on all these aspects. And if the hand was lost at the wrist, then they would use the muscles in the forearm that normally activate the fingers and hand, apply appropriate electrodes at the appropriate spot to activate the motors that would move the fingers and the hand. If they had lost the forearm, they'd give them a forearm and a hand and use the muscles of the arm and shoulder. So it took a little bit more training. He says if they had lost the whole upper limb, they could use any muscles in the body, even the muscles of the leg, to move the arm and hand. He says it would take longer to train them. I said, well, how are you doing? He says, well, I think we're doing quite well. In fact, this afternoon, he said, we tried out one of our hands. He says, this man had just lost his hand at his wrist. So we put on a hand, put on the electrodes, and then we did a little experiment. We asked him to reach out and pick up a paper cup. So he picked up the paper cup with his mechanical hand, and while he held it out, they took a quart jar filled with BB shot and gradually poured those BB shot into that cup. And as the cup got filled, it became heavier, and the fingers automatically tightened. And when the cup was full, the cup had not slipped nor lost its shape. Then he says, we took a pocket knife and made a hole in the bottom of the cup and let the BB shot pour back into the quart jar. And as the cup emptied and became lighter, the fingers relaxed just enough, so that when the cup was again empty, it was intact in form and shape. Now you say that's a wonderful invention, and a wonderful invention it is. But did you know that that is exactly what our hands do when you pick up a cup and fill it under a faucet? As it gets heavier, your fingers automatically tighten. And as you take that cup and put it to your lips and drink that water, and the cup gets lighter, your fingers relax. That is what the Creator did, and that is what these men tried to copy. The human hand has something unique. There are two little muscles in each hand, one attached to the metacarpal on the little finger and one on the metacarpal of the thumb. These two muscles are called the opponens pollicis and the opponens digiti quinti, which is the fifth finger. And no other animal in this world has these two muscles. And what the function of these muscles are is to roll these bones inward. And this enables us to oppose our fingers. And so we can pick up small objects with all of our fingers. Now next time you go to a zoo, take a peanut and throw it to a monkey and see how he picks it up. He'll pick it up this way, not this way. And this ability to oppose our fingers makes the human hand one of the most dexterous instruments in this world. You see, without the human hand, we would have no technology. The brain would conceive things, but the hand would not be able to make the instruments that make the technology available. When you go down the line, ultimately it's the human hand that designs all the instruments that we see, that makes what's available in the world today around us in this modern, sophisticated world. You know, the hand, if you look at our bodies, is an intrinsic part of the body. The support systems for the hand are in the body. The heart circulates the blood to the muscles in the hand. The lungs respire and take the oxygen up to give it to the blood to take to the hands. The digestive system gets the fuel and passes it to the blood, which again takes it to the hands, because the blood is the big transport system of the body. The waste products are again picked up and taken back to the lungs or to the kidneys. And without the support systems of the body, the hand would be useless. It is an intrinsic part of the body. We sometimes feel that the hand is an independent structure, but really it isn't. The hand becomes the faithful servant to the body. What would you have done since you woke this morning without your hands? Your hands are the things that washed your face. If you're a man, shaved you, combed your hair, clothed you, fed you, opened the doors through which you have gone. Without hands, you would have been stumbling around. Sometimes I wonder what I would do without hands. Yes, you try to make a mechanical hand to replace it. But I'm sure the best mechanical hand would never come up to what the Lord has given me. You see, it's a hand that is outreached to give a person help. That handshake gives some people assurance. It gives them comfort. It straightens the pillow. It soothes the troubled brow. God designed the hand, the helping hand, to enable the body to accomplish its tasks. And how foolish we would be to tie them behind our backs and then expect to have a successful, profitable, accomplished, filled life. You know, the Seventh-day Adventist Church has been given a tremendous commission. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every kindred, tongue, and people. No one is to be excluded. No place is to be omitted. And God has given to His people tools to accomplish this task. It's a formidable task. And from a human standpoint, it's an impossible task. The population explosion that's going on in various parts of the world staggers the imagination. And God, in His wisdom, has produced technology that can leap over oceans and mountain ranges and go to every kindred, tongue, and people. We have satellites in the heavens that are eyes to the armed forces and ears to the armed forces, but they are also voices to every person. And God can use these means to accomplish His commission that He has given to us. Ellen White has made a remarkable statement. I'm sure it's familiar to all of you. It says, when connected with other kinds of gospel work, medical missionary work is a most effective instrument by which the ground is prepared for the reception of the gospel seed and an instrument by which the harvest is reaped. It has two functions. And of course, elsewhere, she says that the gospel medical missionary work is the right arm. It is the right arm of the body. It is the instrument that God designed to enable the body to successfully accomplish its task. The body is the gospel message. Medical missionary is the right arm. And the head is God directing both. Unfortunately, this analogy has been lost to most of the members of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. The body does not support the arm as it is in functional life. Your arm is supported by your body. The arm doesn't support the body. Nor does the arm support itself. But this is lost. And the arm has in verity been severed from the body to operate on its own. And that would be a very difficult thing biologically. Oh, I guess they could get support systems like they respire now. They have the heart-lung machine that would pump blood to the arm, but it wouldn't be doing very much. And I'm reminded of an experience that I had some years ago. After I graduated from medicine, I was given the general surgical residency at the White Memorial Hospital, and in those days they only took one person a year, and I was the fortunate person. And the first year was spent at Loma Linda campus. And I finished the first year only to find that we were at war at that time. World War II was raging and everything was going wrong for the Allies. And this country had just entered the war and they were decimating the faculties. All the younger faculty members were taken into the army, and so the school looked at the bottom of the barrel and they asked me if I would teach. And I was at that time an English citizen and wasn't drafted. And I accepted the invitation to teach during the war with the promise that I could finish my residency at the end of the war. And not long after, the government passed a regulation that all friendly aliens were under the same draft laws as the citizens of the country in which they were living. And I told my wife, I'll be in a few days' time. And sure enough, here came the pre-induction physical. So I went over and had my pre-induction physical, and there were a number of other of my colleagues who went over at the same time. And they all went into the army, and I waited every day for my papers, and they didn't arrive. And the first thing I'd ask my wife, if she got home, has it come? And she said, no. And months went by, and a year went by, and I was teaching anatomy. And 2 years went by, and every day I looked, the first thing I expected in the mail was my induction papers. And they never came. I got my ranking just after the war closed. So the Lord wanted me to teach, at least during that period of time. and he seems to have wanted me to teach thereafter. Well, in those days, in a general surgical residency, 1 year was spent in orthopedics. Orthopedics was beginning to be a specialty on its own, but it had been a subspecialty of general surgery. And I went down when I went out to the Loma Linda to see if I could have some clinical activity, and I went to the surgery department and I said, you know, I'm a resident here, can I do anything? They said, well, we have all of the positions filled right now, but we need someone in orthopedics. I said, well, I'm your man. Because I was going to spend 1 year in orthopedics, I might as well learn what I could right away. And so I'd go down and spend the morning in the Los Angeles General Hospital running a clinic there, and then I'd go over to the White Memorial and run a clinic there. And this particular afternoon at the White Memorial, the patients had been assigned, different senior medical students, and the student indicated he was ready to present his patient. And we went into the cubicle, the examining room, and here was a large Mexican male, 20 years of age. He looked like a real wrestler. He couldn't tell where his chin ended and his shoulders began. He had a huge neck. He was a massive person, huge muscles. And he was stripped to his waist and he was standing up. He couldn't speak very much English, and he had a sister, younger sister, who really interpreted for him. And the problem was that the evening before, two people of another gang got after him. And one fellow got on his left side and the other fellow got on his right side. And the fellow on the right side took his two hands over his shoulder. And the fellow on the left side took his two hands over his head. And the person on the left hand jerked his head towards his left shoulder while the person on the right side pulled the shoulder down. And all the nerves from the head to the arm that come out of the side of the neck were frayed. And this individual stood there, something's happened here. It's happened all right. As he stood there, both his arms looked exactly alike. You couldn't tell the difference. But the left arm, his right arm had no feeling, no sensation, nor did it have any ability to move. It was absolutely paralyzed. Now, even today, with all the advanced technology, it'd be very, very difficult to repair the damage that was done. If a person had taken a knife and cut those nerves, then their ends might be sewn together and the larger ones probably would heal in time. But that technology was not advanced at that time, even to the extent it is today. And when it was frayed out, the chance of doing anything positive was gone. Now, I never saw that man again. I referred him to the department in neurology and to the department of surgery. And probably what happened, that hand gradually withered. When it has no nerve supply, that is what happens. The skin gets thin and easily injures and doesn't heal well. The muscles, of course, would all shrivel away, and the bones, without any pull on them, would lose their mineralization, would become osteoporotic. And I would imagine that over a year or so, the individual would ask that his arm be amputated because it would be in the way of doing what he wanted to do. God has given the remnant church an arm. And it is most encouraging to come to an institution such as UG Pines, where the goal of that institution is to promote the use of the right arm to accomplish the task that God has given you and me.
And it behooves us, therefore, to do our part as best we can, to learn to use this instrument in a most effective way. See, the human hand has an innate capacity to do wondrous things. But then we can teach our hands to be dexterous. There are people who can play the piano and the organ and the violin and various musical instruments. There are those who can use a typewriter. Well, unfortunately, that has become obsolete. Use a word processor now. And do things with a computer that couldn't be done before. The human hand can be trained. It can be trained to make bread. It can be trained to wash dishes. I washed some this morning. It can be trained to do all sorts of things so that its usefulness can increase. And I think that application applies to medical missionary work. We must learn the technique and use them as best we can, so that this right arm that was given to the Seventh-day Adventist Church to complete their mission might not wither and atrophy and be lost, but may strengthen with use to accomplish the task that God would have it do. I have a verse or two here that I'd like to read. The Bible, as I said, is full of statements regarding the hand. The hand can do things that God doesn't want it to do, and it can do things that God has designed it to do. And I have a verse here that I thought I'd like to read. It's found in Isaiah, the 56th chapter, and the second verse, Isaiah 56:2. Blessed is the man that doeth this, and the son of man that layeth hold on it, that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and keepeth his hand from doing any evil. What a beautiful counsel that is. God doesn't want us to use this wonderful instrument to do anyone harm. He wants us to extend it and use it to be a blessing to others. And then, of course, we have this verse in Zephaniah, the 13th chapter and the 6th verse, where someone asks in the new earth, what are the wounds in the Savior's hands? God gave his wondrous hands to save you and me. May God help us to use our hands to be a blessing to others, is my prayer.
This has been another classic sermon from the Archive of American Christian Ministries. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There is no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.